Now for a few minutes turn to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13 you have nothing but parables. Parable of the sower and the parable of the tares and so on, and many other parables besides. Jesus spake to the people in parables. Now at verse 51, Matthew 13 verse 51, Jesus said unto his disciples, to them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. That's a tremendously important question for us all concerning the things we hear preached to us in the Gospel by the servants of the Lord, and the things which we read in the Word of God say. Have ye understood all these things? After a communion, it's a common question for people to say, did you enjoy the communion? Well, now it's quite possible to enjoy services, to enjoy the word without understanding the word or the services. It's a pleasant thing to enjoy. It may be profitable and it may not be. But it's always a profitable thing to understand. And the question for us all today is, did we understand? Do we understand? Not do we enjoy, do we understand these things? And our fear should be that we enjoy without understanding. There's a terrible danger applied in that. Well, how much then have we understood? When our Lord asked this question, he did not mean, do you understand these things intellectually? His meaning was far deeper than that. It's possible to understand the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible intellectually without being touched at all in our hearts. The intelligence or the understanding is not the most important thing at all in religion. The heart is. Disciples were going to Emmaus, and the Lord came in with them. He opened up to them the scriptures, beginning with Moses, and going over the prophets and the Psalms, and he expounded to them the things concerning himself. And they definitely understood tremendously more than before he came into their company. But when they spoke to one another after they left them, they didn't say, don't we know a lot more than we did when we set out from Jerusalem? We never saw these things in the Bible. We never knew that these things meant what they do mean, what he told us to mean. But what they said was, did not our heart burn within us? You see, their understanding was opened. But they laid emphasis on their heart. So then, what our Lord means here is not, do you intelligently grasp these things? But what he meant was, do these things go with power to your heart? Now friends, that is the main question with regard to the gospel and its truths. Do they go with power to our heart? There are people, I knew people in the island of Lewis in my young days, and their lives evidenced that they hadn't a spark of grace. And by the fruits ye shall know them, they did not pretend to have grace. And they lived gracelessly. But for an intellectual grasp of the doctrines of the Bible, I dare say that not one of us would hold a candle to them. They knew it all. They were able to grasp intelligently everything the minister was saying. But they never felt the power of them. No hearts. Now what our Lord here means is, did you feel or do you feel the power of these things in your hearts? And they said, yes, Lord. Now, when we understand in that sense, when we have an inward experience of the power of the truth, that is something we will never forget. Whenever we get it, or however we get it, we'll never forget it, as long as we live. You have heard, probably like myself, you have heard many sermons that were most illuminating. They opened up avenues for you of understandings. You saw things that you never saw before. And you could have listened all day. That was my experience, and I'm sure it was yours too. I have listened to able men, and they just let a flood of light into my understanding. They revealed things, showed me things, discovered things to me that I never knew before, or had never thought of. And they were marvelous things from the Bible. But these are not the sermons that I remember most at all. Valuables they were. But the sermons that touched my heart deepest, the sermons that set me on fire consciously with love to Christ. See, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter didn't understand very much. He didn't understand anything at all, really, of what he saw. Christ transfigured, Moses and Elijah speaking to him. But he didn't know what it was all about. But his heart was affected, and he said, let us stay here all the time. Now, these are the experiences that affect us most and stay most with us. When we feel the inward power of the truth in your own heart. You can apply this also to your private experience. I suppose every one of the Lord's people here today would remember some time or times in their experience. And for some reason or other, maybe because of joy or because of sorrow, they got up early in the morning, or they didn't go to bed or the rest of the family did at night, or it might have been during the day. They got the Bible. They began reading it. And then something caught them. Something caught them with supernatural power. And their eyes were riveted to a certain text or phrase. They've never forgotten that. You never do forget these things. Now, that's what our Lord means. Have ye understood these things? Did my teaching, he says, did it come with power to your hearts? Have ye been affected by it? And I said, yes, Lord. Now then, how do we know for certain that the word comes to us like that? How do we know for certain that we do understand in that sense? And a plain and simple answer to that is, we'll make a practical application of it in our lives. There's no other answer but that. The doctor comes in to see you and he tells you what the nature of your illness is. And then he tells you what to do. Now, it is talking plain English, and we're able to understand plain English. The only way in which anybody can tell that we have understood what the doctor said was if we do what he told us to do. The plan, of course, that was all for our good, and the advice was good. But if we don't, then we didn't understand. We understood the language, the words, but they didn't come with power to our minds to make us do them. And that's no use. So it's really by a practical application of the truth to our lives that we give evidence that we understand the truth. It actually makes it in the sense in which all meant here. Now what we started was the outcome. Never by your own brain, however sharp and keen it may be. This kind of understanding is given only by the Spirit of God. And if you have had experiences of the kind that I mentioned, feeling the power of the Word, then the Holy Spirit is within you. It's God in the person of the Holy Spirit who gave you to understand. You couldn't of your own have done it. And if all the world were sitting beside you, they couldn't have made you understand as much in your lifetime as you understood there in the twinkling of an eye. It's his work. And of course, he puts his imprimatur on it, his own stamp. He reveals, he shows it's his own work, by the way in which you grasp it and by the power with which it comes. I don't think this should be a rare experience in the history the believer. It's all too rare in the history of any one of us. But it should not be our real experience. But I'll refer to that just in a minute. Now, regarding this kind of understanding, it has a beginning, like every other understanding. We have to begin with the alphabet of the Christian faith. Can't begin anywhere else. No doubt there are people like Paul and Augustine and Calvin whom God used, who got a marvelous understanding, as it were, all of a sudden. But that's not the usual way. We have to begin at the very beginning. So then, friends, I think, I'm sure, that it is that the heaven forces somebody in the tree for us. And that's about all we understand. And our understanding of that is even meager. But we understand enough of that to trust our souls to the Savior forever and ever. But to talk about it, we couldn't do that. Perhaps you remember yourself that when you began, when you understood these things, you were terrified lest anybody should speak to you. Not that you didn't want them to speak, but you didn't want to speak to them for fear you would say something wrong. You understood so little, and you felt it. Well, that's the way with everyone. Their understanding of these things has a beginning. And so, don't be worried if you're only beginning to understand. Because understanding is progressive, like that of a pupil in school. You go on and on. Now, I know the way we talk about ourselves very often, perhaps with a sort of a false modesty, that we are not this and that. But if you put it to yourself fairly and squarely, you will have to admit that you understand far more today than you did, say, 5 years ago. Far more, probably, than you did even a year ago. You understand far more than you did then. His mind has been enlightened on a lot of things since then. That he's going to go on like this, and if you live for another 5, 10, or 20, you'll understand far more than you do. Because I suppose you were just the same as myself. When I first discovered that the Lord Jesus Christ was my Savior, I didn't think I had any more to understand. I didn't want to understand more. I was quite happy with what I had. And I thought I had everything. But of course, you realize that this is not so. That's not God's way or plan. And then you know that you're only a child in the school of Christ. But you go on progressing in knowledge. And I know very well that today I understand unspeakably more than I did then. I'm not saying I'm happier, but I'm saying that I understand more. And then understanding is to be communicated. Remember that. It's your duty. What you understand, you ought to communicate to other people. Just you listen to this. If Paul had never written down the things that he understood, where would we be today. But Paul understood more than anybody did in his own generation. And he wrote it down. And the world has been reaping, the church has been reaping the benefit of it ever since, for 2,000 years almost. Well then, if we understand these things, let us communicate them and make others understand them. After all, if we understand them, we get this by the Holy Spirit, maybe through human means, so therefore it is our duty to do it. Christ did it with his disciples. He spoke to them in parables, simply. And he said, did you understand these things? See, he communicated what he knew. Take the Acts. You read the Acts of the Apostles. And you see that this distress is laid on the Apostles teaching those people who were converted to the faith. Stress is laid in the Acts on that teaching. They went abroad everywhere. Preaching and teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, there are some people who don't understand anything at all. That's the unconverted. They don't understand anything. Only they themselves think. They do, but they don't. Oh, they enjoy new ministers for the communion, visiting ministers. They enjoy to listen to them. But they don't understand. But they're quite happy without understanding. But the Lord's people are not. They like to enjoy, but they're not happy. If they don't understand. And there are some people who don't understand very much. And there may be various reasons for that. Of course, the church of Christ, same as him. This year, there are some of brighter intelligence than others. Just the same as you have in a class at school. There are pupils much brighter than others. They grasp a thing far quicker than the other pupils. Well, in the school of Christ, there are people who understand far more than others. They're more intelligent, naturally. And so they grasp these truths easier. That is one reason why some people understand more, and a reason why some people understand less. They just haven't got the natural grasp of things to understand spiritual things. And sometimes lack of understanding comes to sloth, spiritual sloth. How much do we do to understand better? You know what you say to your own children? Did you do your lessons? And if they didn't, you make them do them. And doing the lessons involves time. They can't play and do their lessons at the same time. So, they have to set aside time to do them. And when they do them, their understanding sums, their arithmetic, their English, their understanding. Well now, that's the way in the school of Christ. If we want to understand, then we shall have to be diligent. And if we haven't time, we just must make it. Don't say, I can't find time. You'll have to find time. if we neglect the Bible and the helps that are given on the Bible, if we neglect, no wonder we don't understand. If we leave it all to the minister to teach us without any effort on our own, it will be like a child in school leaving a door to the teacher without doing any homework. Well, he won't get very far. So, friends, did you understand? I hope it's not sloth that keeps you from doing it. Some don't understand because of lack of interest. They're really not interested in things. Oh, a lot of people are not interested. I suppose, and I'm not saying this boastingly, visiting ministers have said it to me, that there seldom ever preach to a congregation that show more attention than you do. I can say the same. But if you're standing in this pulpit sometimes, or sitting in it during the sing, and you looked at the wandering eyes, no wonder people don't understand. If you looked at the eyes of people, and you know perfectly well they are not that particle of interest in what you see, well, how can they understand if they're not interested? So we have to have an interest in these things if we want to understand them. But now, just as I close, I suppose you all say just what I say myself. Well, I know so little. Yes, of course, that's a sign that we get to know something. Professor Ross, who is now dead, he was professor of Greek in a college in my day. And I got to know him very well as a student. I was with him in Birkhead at his last communion. And we were sitting together at the fireside talking familiarly, and I said to him, now, I said, Professor Ross is going away, and I am a young minister in the church. I would like very much if you would give me some advice on preaching. He has been in the ministry, I think, since 1915 or something like that. Well, he said, I feel now that I'm only beginning to know how to preach. And that was his last communion, after probably 50 years or more of preaching. Lovely preaching. So, friends, we can say the same with other things. You can say, I feel that I'm only beginning to grasp, beginning to understand. But that's no wonder. Truth is infinite. That is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. Nobody can know. And at our best, we see through a glass darkly. But with this word, I will let you go. One day you, a child of God, one day very soon, is going to understand unspeakably more than ever you did. It has been the opinion of men in the past, and there's no reason why we shouldn't agree, a moment, as the moment a soul is glorified, the moment a believing soul leaves the body, it immediately goes into glory. And it was the opinion of great people in the past, that in the twinkling of an eye, a glorified soul knows unspeakably more than even Paul knew in all his lifetime of the mystery of the Christian age. You think of what is waiting for you. You're only sipping the truth when you understand it most. There you will be drinking out of an ocean of fullness. So, friend, when you moan that you don't understand much, encourage yourself that the day is coming when you are going to understand much, drinking out of the fullness of God without interruption. Now let us unite in prayer. Oh Lord God, we have to blame ourselves for our lack of understanding thy truth. We have been slothful. We have been careless. We haven't shown the interest that we should have. Do thou forgive us these things. Help us to know Christ more and more. And help thou faith and hope. Revive our hope and our faith in the knowledge that one day there will be nothing in our lives at all but an understanding of Christ Jesus. In this world there is much more. There are distractions in family life and in employment, in various other ways. But there would be nothing to distract or to interrupt. And so we shall go on, grasping as we never did and as we couldn't do in this world the glory of Christ Jesus. May our hopes be revived.